the Township of McCullough Special Budget Meeting of Council for March 27, 2026 to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Haskell.
Counselor Debbie Zulak.
Treasurer Roshan Katia.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Mike Hakkinen.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stoneman. Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest to the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 26-127, moved by Councilor Keckner, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for the special budget meeting of Council as presented. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Resolution 26-128, moved by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into committee the whole at
2:08 p.m.
for discussion of the 2026 annual budget discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, with the committee of the whole now, just make sure everybody is aware of our policy. It is open, certainly, to council members, certainly to staff, and to the public. That's the idea of putting it in the committee of the whole, so the public can comment at this stage and not wait until the end of the agenda as we go along. And we look forward to comments from the public as well. For today's discussion, I'd like to thank Roshan Katia, our treasurer, certainly for putting all this together again, and this is our second, and we'll have, I think, first and second reading we're looking at anyway for April the 7th meeting, and then the April 21st for the third reading, and it may be passed at that point, it may not be, it all depends on what information we receive in the interim. We may get more information as it comes in as well. I'd also like to thank Mary for taking charge here, and Carly's away on vacation, so she's running the meeting today. And Tom, our public works superintendent. We've asked him regularly, of course, to pare down the budget, but I would think he's going to explain why certain things are required, certain things necessary, and we'd like him to speak to some of the projects he has in mind for this year. So we appreciate his participation as well. Now I'll turn it over to Roshan. I'm not sure we have to go through every line by line as we did before. Certainly the changes. You can go through your opening page, I think your intro, what changes you made, and then we may have to center in on certain items that are in the actual budget itself, in the operating, and perhaps in the capital, and then eventually to the reserves as well, and what changes you've made. So we leave it to your expertise to explain what changes you've made since our last meeting, February the 6th. That's all yours.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As per the last meeting, I have done some of the changes, and as per discussion, I made some changes in the budget. After the changes, the new levy requirement is $4,784,830.68, which is a 5% increase from previous year. And in terms of how it's going to impact on our tax bill, 3.96% will be impact on tax bill, which is on $100,000 assessment. The increase will be $30.89. If we talk about the changes on the operating expense side, there are a couple of changes. One, there was a levy for West Perry Sound OPET Detachment Board, which was part of the last draft. But was there was an error and that wasn't part of the calculation, so now it's fixed, it's part of the calculation. Second is we got the actual amount of levy from Emergency Medical Service EMS, land ambulance from Bay Sound, and that's increased by 6.98%. Next one is levy for Belvedere Heights, is small increase, not much, 0.81%. And the there are changes in the overhead for the McKellar Market. Normally, we offer any employee OMERS, whether it's a full-time or part-time. So we offer the new employee part-time, and that's why there's some overhead changes. And that's an increase of $1,439.36. And overall changes affect the other investment in the infrastructure reserve, and that increases by $930.25. If we look at the capital side, there are three changes. One is the last meeting we talked about the software, and we are transferring 96,000 from the high-speed internet telecommunication reserve and remaining 4,000 from the general administration reserve. So overall, the cost of the software budgeted is 100,000, and then other change was in capital was 130,000 for vehicle for the superintendent. That's also coming from the vehicle and equipment reserve. And the last change is the, as we discussed last time, the reserve amount for the vehicle and equipment is increased by 50,000. Those are the changes for the in the expense, operating expense, as well as the capital budget side.
Okay. Any quick questions on the intro there, the changes? I'll turn it over to Tom at this point for your department. And we're just wondering, I guess, some of the projects, and I know it's been hit and miss and different things changing, what you have planned. And
Haven't changed anything since last meeting.
Even Hardee's, I thought there
were... Hardee's, we did change it prior to the last meeting. We reduced it to 900,000.
And
the project, anticipating maybe doing a little less or having a little more involvement from staff to complete some of the tasks. But other than that, I didn't look at reducing anything. You guys see the roads. We still can't assess the road. Snow's still covering the ditches. It's status quo. In my mind, that was, and maybe I approached you guys wrong, but that's sort of the minimum I see that needs to be done on that road. We could go farther. We're drawing the line at Lindsay Lane as the cutoff for this construction project. And, the extension of Hardee's, which I think is called Sunny Shore, is the surface of it is starting to bobble. So it's probably at the end of its serviceable life as well. I couldn't see cutting. I could see adding. So.
No, I just wondered because... with the state township doing some of the work, I'm just interested to know whether we should be still using that option for Hardee's or whether we should be going out to full contract.
Well, I've had this discussion with Bob Hughes. He's stepping in and helping us prepare the tenders for these jobs. And his attitude is he wants to prepare the tenders as there's no staff involvement. And see what it comes back at, because he realizes the enormous amount of regular maintenance work that we have. So don't want to overcommit, is the correct word.
And he has no timeline for that?
He's looking at for the project that was carried over from last year, which is Hardee's Road, to have the tender documents ready within the next 2 weeks. So he's early April, so... I would expect by the middle of April we'll be having them out to tender. We're going to tender Hardee's Road separately, and he hasn't had, because of the weather, hasn't had the ability to inspect it yet. So, based on the previous engineer's assessment of the road, he has started preparing the documents.
Yeah, I just wonder, I guess it'd be interesting to see what figures he comes up with. The previous one was, what, 1.5? Up to 2?
I think we changed our budget to 900.
Yeah,
right.
Is our ask, and I spoke to him about that, and off the top of his head, he says that's the right ballpark.
Hmm.
900 a million.
Councilor Zulak?
So that's without staff involved?
That's without staff involved.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the other thing in there? I'm just wondering, at one point within the budget, I guess I saw pickup trucks, plural. And I think it was pared down to one for the parks.
Yes.
One new truck there, 80,000?
Yeah.
And 130 for the super. Okay, so it's not two trucks for the parks?
No, one truck for parks, one for the super. So total is 230,000.
Okay.
Yeah. 210,000 total.
Okay. And does Bob have any timeline to get him? He's thinking Hardy's there in early, mid-April. And with the Herdville Road? I know what you say, the weather.
Herdville Road, he didn't give me an exact date, but I know his goal is as soon as possible, because he doesn't believe in putting tar and chip down. That'll be a tar and chip road after August. So he would want to have bulk of the work done in July, so it's ready to for its surface treatment in August. So I would say that's fairly quickly. I think he'll have documents ready for May.
This is Herdville, tar and chip?
This is Hardy's.
Okay, I was going to say, because I mentioned Herdville, and it is
Hardy's, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess back to your question about Herdville Road, the timing.
Oh, the timing on Herdville Road? Oh, sorry, I misunderstood the question. He did have a timeline, and this is off the top of my head. It was sort of tenders out early April, closing May. Give them like 3 weeks to do. So awarding and insurance and all the other documents, do you have everything ready to go for June 1st?
So we wouldn't be asphalting in October then, probably?
It's a smaller job than last year, so I would hope that we're before that, but yeah, you're looking at October.
Yeah.
And I think there's only a few culverts. I mean, probably more likely September this time.
That sounds a bit better.
Yeah.
We're never sure of weather, of course, but the other thing that I noticed in there too, and I think it was that 20,000 right now for the line painting, and I'm not sure if council had ever agreed on whether they wanted to go all roads, in which case, as you said, the budget would have to be increased, and we'd have to do that on a regular basis. So I just wanted to get council's opinion on that, on the roads and the line painting. What your thoughts were on it, and right now it's a 20,000 for, I guess that's a few of the roads that you designated.
For this year, like the snow that has melted, it looks like what we did last year I won't have to redo this year, so I was going to put that money towards Herdville Road because it seems to be a safety concern with some of the public and some of the councillors. And we do have a quote on that of 13,000 something. And they are prepared to do it this spring if we're going to go ahead.
So they would come back twice because the second part of Herdville will have to be done too?
Well, and if you remember last year, I wouldn't recommend waiting on the first half because we've got an unsafe road
right
for the entire summer, and it wouldn't be available to be painted until October.
Right.
You know, the second phase wouldn't. So then you're going a year with a road that's kind of dangerous, so we should paint.
Well, no,
it's paid now. We should paint.
Yes, definitely. I'm just thinking.
And they would have to come back for the second half if
yeah.
it was ready early enough. Now, last year, it wasn't ready early enough. So that's
right.
We had given them the go-ahead to paint it. I think we have. I have a copy of that resolution. We said, let's go ahead and paint it last fall. And it started to snow, so it didn't get done.
Yeah.
So I'm just following through and planning on having it done here in May if this discussion goes well. Because it is, like I've said, it is an ongoing thing. Once you have lines, you keep them painted. Whether that's an annual thing or a semi-annual thing, it's money going forward.
So, council have any opinions on that? I know it's a question.
I just have a question. So 20,000 is put aside?
Yep.
And 13,000 is the quote you got?
Is the quote, yeah.
So what was your idea for the other 7?
Well, if there's something else that needs to be touched up after the winter, we can't
okay.
see it all yet. It's not all swept. Because we have to keep them at a certain
yeah.
you know, brightness or certain visibility, right? So there may be some of it that needs to be touched up. But, you know, our parking lot's not looking bad out here. I drive Center Road every day coming in here, and it's I can see the yellow line, so fingers crossed we don't have to do it.
Councilor Keckner.
So the 13,000, that was for Herdville Road, the first part of Herdville Road that was paved last year?
Yes.
So how much is it paint the second half later at the end of the season?
It'll be significantly less because it's a shorter stretch. So we're doing 4 kilometers, and it's $13,000. So I think the last section is, I'm not
close
sure.
Three.
Yeah, it is. It's
close
seven total. Three. So it'll be 3/4 of that. It'll be 10 anyway.
So the 20,000 is spoken for then for line painting just for her.
Yeah, and that wasn't my concern in asking you before. If you are you sure you want to go ahead with this and paint it? It's not this year's budget because that's part of the construction project. It could very well come out of the construction budget, right? The painting. It's next year, if it needs to be brightened up,
right.
We need to be budgeting for it on the maintenance side every year. So typically in the past we've budgeted $18,000 or $20,000 to do our line painting, and that's enough for every year. When we add more lines to the road, we've got to up that budget. So it didn't have many lines, and now we're talking about edge lines, white edge lines on each side and the center line, and that's why it's so expensive. It makes a very safe road, very visible for the traveling public, but it isn't required under the law to have it.
Councilor Haskell, you had a point earlier.
Yes, except I kind of agree with the conversation overall. Definitely should be done. I'm thinking especially going down the road as when we do the other section of Herdville, I think Herdville being a higher speed, high use road should always have the lines visible. You know, whether we skip a year once in a while, if they're okay, we might be able to. And then as we go along with the new portion of Center Road and down the road when we do the other portion of Center Road, those are our two busy roads, Center Road and Herdville Road. I would almost say we should always have the fog lines and the center line marked on them. As far as the tar and chip roads, it's supposed to be lower speed, a lot of them, and so we can probably get away with the one line down the middle occasionally.
And hills and corners is what we typically do.
Yeah.
So if it's got a blind corner, a blind hill, we're required to paint it for safety.
Mm-hmm. So I think if we kind of follow that format,
it won't. I don't think it'll affect the budget for this year,
mm-hmm.
for today. It's going forward for 2027, then we've got to look at maybe upping that a little bit because we've got more lines.
Councilor Keckner?
So we did take out a debenture for Herdville Road. A significant portion of it was consumed last year during the construction portion of the 4 kilometer section. So how much is left? And the reason why I'm asking is because with the change in the economic climate currently, I think it was even tight last year with what was left in the debenture to ensure that the construction would be able to be completed with that amount of money. So now with the change in the economic climate and, you know, the change in the price of crude oil per barrel, when we started off this, the February 6th portion of the budget had oil at $57 a barrel in your report, and we're hovering around $97 a barrel now. So it was around $60 a barrel in actually it was $58 a barrel when we started in the first version of this budget. And not only that, so as well you mentioned the supply chain pressure. Has that changed any of the numbers we need to be looking at, as well as the cement asphalt price, asphalt cement price index? Has that shifted anything over the last month or so, and will that impact prices going forward this coming construction season?
I haven't looked at those individual the items because the situation is still changing, and we are not sure what will be the impact, but obviously there will be. We got a letter last week or 2 weeks ago from Adam Brothers. They are going to increase the fuel by 9% surcharge, 9% on fuel. So yeah, there will be changes, but it's kind of hard right now to tell what will be the impact because nobody knows as of now. It's kind of you know, still situation is ongoing, so it's kind of hard to tell right now.
So the budget is the estimates of totals required for the year. So with the possible anticipation that this might these price increases might last longer than just the month that we've experienced here, usually the budget is to account for any estimate changes that might be encountered during the course of as well. It's every line item here where it talks about fuel or heating fuel, that are we accounting for that in the budget so that we're well positioned to be able to meet our financial needs in the coming year?
That's where the I need the council's direction, because the budget, when we did first draft, that's when situation was normal, and that's how we did the first draft. And after that, again, situation is still dynamic. We are not sure how it's going to be impact. So again, if the council would like to increase some of the line item, then let me know, then I will increase accordingly. But then, as you know, it's kind of hard to tell what will be the impact on our budget and which line item will be affected, because I know that fuel and electricity and those line item will be affected, but how much? 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, it's kind of hard to tell.
So this, I think the main goal would be to give a bit of an estimate. You can calculate right now that if it's 1 month that it's going to affect, you can increase the prices by 10% of what the line item is, because it's approximately 1/10 of the year. So, you know, even if it's just 1 month, you can make that calculation to ensure that, you know, the adjustments that we know for sure at this point in time are incorporated, and just to be on the safe side, to ensure that there is a percentage, 2-3 months percentage incorporated as well, so that we are well situated to meet the financial needs in the coming year.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's a difficult to know the actual figure, and you don't want to increase the cushion too much in case things change again. And that's one of the concerns that some residents have, that the cushion is too great, because it's not actually being spent, and it should be actually spent on what's spent in previous years. The cushion's always a good idea, but how much do we cushion? Councilor Ryan?
I don't know that we've done this. I haven't seen us do it, but couldn't we create a contingency that we just took the total fuel expenses that we expect in the overall budget and add in whatever percent we think is there, and instead of adding it to the budget per se, the fuel budget, we have a line below that says fuel contingency.
Definitely, we can do that, and that's what I was thinking. Like, if we pass the budget in, you know, coming month, and then at some point in mid of the year, we can look at that, and we can, you know, from that amount, contingency amount, we can, you know, transfer that amount, whatever we needed. And that way, you know, we have enough in contingency coming, maybe 5%, 10%, I'm not sure, but then we will have in budget. So, you know, if we need it, then we can transfer from contingency, and if we don't need it, that would be part of the reserve.
Exactly. You know, that was my thought. If it's explicit.
I was going to add that our construction projects always have a contingency, and that's what it could be used for.
Yeah.
It's just very difficult to see how the contractors are going to perceive this. because it's gonna be them covering their risk, not what we can anticipate. So if they're really scared, they're gonna up them a lot. There's still a competitive process, so it's whatever they're comfortable with. Like, but I can do the dead cost on our projects that Weeks Construction did last year.
Yeah.
Bob and I did a quick calculation to say, what would that have affected? Now that things have skyrocketed and fuel is so much more. Well, the fuel was double. Like, it was a $1.4 million contract or a little more last year for them to do that without the paving.
Mm.
It would up their cost $60,000. And that's with us being generous. So $60,000. Now, whether it scares them more than $60,000, but $60,000 on $1.4 million is not a great deal.
No.
You know, it's not like the knee-jerk reaction that some companies say, well, the fuel's up, so we've got a 10% fuel charge. They're putting 10% on everything,
mm-hmm.
on machine time, on labor, on, you know, and so, like, we're paying through the nose, so we can't predict how they're going to deal with it. For things like heating oil, maybe you could put a contingency in, but for construction projects, I think we've got to wait and see. For our gravel line item, it just is a matter of, I've got a clause in the contract all the time that I can take 20% less or 20% more, depending on if I like their price or not, right? So, I mean, if their price is too high, then we just get 20% less gravel this year, or 10% less.
Yeah, and those RFPs are due April 2nd, right? So we'll have some figures before April 7th.
We'll have figures April 2nd to see what they're, you know, how scared they are for the gravel, calcium, and a few others are closing on the 2nd.
Other questions, council? Council Keckin.
Just the basic structure of the, if you could put the dates on the document, that'd be very useful, because I was trying to look at, compare the first version with this one, and you can't tell. This version here says, the one we're dealing with today says version one, and there's no date on the document itself. There is on the agenda page, but that's not attached to this document that I have. So, if you can, and as well, if I was looking at, because the reason why sometimes we want to go back and compare different versions, different documents, and this is the first time I've noticed this, that the actuals for 2025 have changed from version one, the February 6, 2025 version of this document, and the version we're looking at today, March 27th, 2026. Or sorry, the other one was 2026 as well. I look back just as a test of different versions of budgets, 2014, 2019. I'd never seen the actuals actually change from the first version to the second version of the documents. Is that something new this year, or how, like, what is the? And it's not just it's anyways. Is that something that's new this year, or what? How does that come into being?
I remember last year Nick talked about that when he said, how come the actuals always same on multiple times when you do the budgets, and you know why it's not changed? And that's why I tried to put as much actuals I could, because as year is still open and some of the invoices we get it, you know, on until I do the audit, and that's why some of the numbers are changed. So until and unless the audit is done, the period is open, and as soon as I get the invoices, I put in the actuals, and that's why you see the change. And previous philosophy was that, you know, once you do the first draft, then the actual, whatever you see, the first draft shouldn't be changing on second draft or third draft. But then, you know, as, you know, Councilor Ryland said the last time that, you know what, you know, it need to change, because we would like to see the actual too. So that's one of the reason I'm changing. But if the council doesn't like it, then I will keep the you know, same numbers.
So what happens though is that we're looking at the status of the finances, December 31st, 2025. And so it's not just accounts that are changing, it's the total actual. So what happens then is that the surplus changes. So we don't have an accurate estimate of what the, you know, because we base it on December 31st at the end of that year. So, you know, whatever works, but anyways.
And one of the reason I changed it is because when I do the surplus for the, specifically for the reserve accounts, for the recreation committee or historical committee, if I keep the same surplus amount, even though I found out there was some invoices which came after the first budget meeting, and it didn't change the surplus in the reserve, you know, the section, then it's wrong. That's why I have to change that number to show that why it's change in reserve. Even I highlighted, if you see on the some of the recreation committee or historical committee reserve change, I highlighted because there was some of the invoices which came, or some of the invoices which shouldn't be there, I relocated. That's why the that budget number changed, actual number changed. That's why the reserve amount changed. That's the other reason I've been trying to, I'm trying to put as much information I can. That's the other reason too.
Yeah, it's just the the semantics. I mean, when it says actual, you think that'd be the final figure sort of thing. But really, it's also an estimate, I guess.
Yeah.
It's also open to change. So.
Correct.
It's complicated matters. Mm-hmm. Councilor Hassan.
Yeah, I guess I could ask Tom something. In your capital budget, you've put in for engineering study Camp Road and Center Road, the $50,000.
Yep.
So that would get Bob or whoever to do the rest of the engineering study for the balance of the Center Road from Hurdville Road to
yep.
Lees Road?
Yes, and I'm
okay.
looking at more economical options because it's still in decent shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get on that one, and we can start trying some of these new strategies. And it's a
yeah.
high traffic road for us, right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and then I'll switch over to Rojan. So how many more years do we have to pay on the Center Road debenture? Is that another 3 years?
I think it was 5 years, so it would be about in four years, because
four.
Four more years.
Another four years,
yeah.
including this year, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, in my mind, I'm thinking for a little bit of long-term trying to figure out, because that's an awful darn cost for the township to try to endure, you know, that level of construction would be whether we can make that section of road do until such time as the debenture for the existing one is paid off, and then we automatically hit, we just budget that same amount of payment to continue with the Center Road. So that sounds like it's going to be 4 years. Can we make that section road hang in there about 4 years?
Well, Councilor Kakinen had talked about microseal for that section too.
Yeah, and exactly why I'm investigating it, because it's a good idea, but if you leave it too long, it won't work, okay? Everything has a lifespan, right? We all know that. The lifespan of Tarnship Road is 7 to 10 years. And we're trying to get 15.
And we're way over.
And we're way over already. And unless we get some slurry seal on it or something, it's going to start to fall apart. So, yeah. And the other thing that I've been working on for this last week or so is a 10-year capital project plan, including the fleet. And it really opens your eyes that it isn't like that. You know, we can finish this one and we can coast for a couple of years. It's like we've got something to do for the next 10 years, and you know, we got to figure out how we're going to pay for it.
Well, and I know we can't afford it.
And you can't put anything off because it just makes next year more expensive. That's sort of my, and I'm trying to look at it. And if you just look at it in round numbers from my training, I showed Roshan yesterday, and the number scares you. The number of kilometers of road we have, the amount of money we should be spending on them every year to do one a year. Project a year, and it's more like $3.2 million, and that's without putting a surface on it. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money.
And that's kind of why I'm asking, because I knew you were going to do that to us.
Yeah.
You know, come up with this big spending plan.
It's not, yeah, well, it's trying to get ahead of it so we can use these strategies, because
mm-hmm.
Center Road's in good shape, other than a few bad spots.
Yeah.
Those dips, we all know where they are with the frost being so bad this year, and the corner, right?
So that's
and it's not wheel tracking, so it means the base must be pretty good under there.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can start to preserve that, then maybe we can hang on to it. We're not going to spend millions on it, that maybe we'll spend hundreds of thousands on it.
Well, I'm almost thinking that it's got to be an asphalt faulted road, the balance of it at some point. So I'm thinking a total redo. And if we can struggle through for 3 or 4 years, it's a total construction.
I'm glad you can see into my world, because that's the struggle that I do. Like, how much money do you spend on these things, on pavement preservation, trying to make it last longer?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you're going to have to reconstruct it fully at some point anyways.
Yeah.
Because if you could waste $500,000 and still have to spend millions on it, and you think, geez, maybe we should have just done that sooner.
Yeah. So my attitude, if it aligns with the plan going forward, is minimal expenditure on that section of road, but at least make it so people aren't smashing their vehicles up on potholes. And there's some new ones this year. We have those couple of bad corners, whether we could smoothen them out a little bit. But I see it, because this was a bad winter, and it did seem to survive it reasonably well, except for a ridge of potholes from Lee's Creek up to the Lee's Road kind of thing. That's doable, you know, kind of thing. So again, I'm just, then it kind of, if that could be a plan going forward, because, you know, we could almost start planning that now by the time you get your engineer study done and prepare tenant. It could be, next thing you know, the time is here to redo that road.
And that's exactly my point about doing these engineering studies, is in getting the project ready so we know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we have to do it the next year,
but
we have to know what we're going to do. And if you've got a project that's planned and ready and we're budgeting for and it's in the future, and a grant comes along,
right on.
And we may see more grants, because one of the things that's going to really jump with the price of oil is asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there'll be any incentive to.
So I think that would be probably our most expensive project in the next decade, would be to redo that section of Center Road. So if we got it all prepped and tried to apply for any grants that come along, it would really save us. And then if we know that's the plan, well then for trying to keep all these other roads up to snuff, well then we'll have to deal with that more in-house. We got to bite the bullet and budget, you know, $900,000 again this year for this section of road.
Yeah, and that's sort of what, you know, I'm looking into, is because what you just described is, you know, kind of postpone it and try and live with it till we can afford to redo it completely, or will one of these pavement preservation things work, and do we get another 10 years? So now we got 10 years to plan for that total reconstruction. You know what I mean? If we can get another 10 years out of the road, you have 10 years to save for that millions of dollars.
Councilor Keckner? And particularly if the base seems like it's holding up well, which it is on that section of
the
Center Road,
yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you have, you know, access to these finances that you can catch up on some of these other roads while you've done a refurbishment of that section of Center Road. And you know, I always felt that the engineering study was important, but now when I'm looking at some of the roads that were engineered and the frosties on them, Burnett's Road, prime example, we got $1 million grant for that. That was an engineered road, and you drive down that, and you will notice there's a few frosties.
Yeah.
Sections of road that we did over the last 2 years, there's frosties, historical frosties that you thought would have been dealt with through the engineering, which are there again this winter. So,
and if you notice one on Herdville Road, brand new.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And and it was engineered to be the ditch to be blasted deeper, because it was rock ditch. Couldn't do it because of the hydropole in the ditch. So they did the best they could, and there's a frost heap there this year,
mm-hmm.
in the brand new pavement.
So
it's never perfect, but yeah.
Yeah, but if we can, like, Center Road is still salvageable the way it currently is, you know, fixing up the Stewart Park corner, probably with asphalt, because that seems to take a real beating on that section.
Mm-hmm.
And but the majority of it is, last year was 90-something% good. We'll see what it is this year, but each year that we wait, it's going to be a complete reconstruction of that road, which is significantly more expensive. And then, look, we're just not seeing any grants, any funding for infrastructure projects like this, and it's killing us and other municipalities financially. It just, we keep getting further behind. You look at the bridge and culvert study, and you see that there's an X amount of dollars that are supposed to be allocated to be to achieve the sweet spot of being able to get the most amount of years out of these assets, and there's nothing really going into the, you know, into that part of the asset management. So however we can extend the life with an acceptable option, I think, is at this point in time something that definitely has to be considered. And I think you mentioned if you've seen the numbers, it'd be scary. I think if we've seen an updated asset management plan spreadsheet, then we could actually see what roads are coming up all of us and be able to see that there's a lot that's going to be happening in the next few years.
Yeah, and what's causing it, and we're not unique, is we were all encouraged to surface treat our roads. And we weren't well enough educated, or councils of the day weren't well enough educated on that this is a temporary solution. It has a life expectancy of 7 to 10 years. So in 7 to 10 years, you're going to spend at least that much money on it again. And none of us have. All the municipalities. It's put down, the savings isn't recognized because you don't put calcium on that road anymore. You're not grading that road anymore. So there's a savings to it by getting it there. But we haven't then financially planned for its demise in 10 years. So now the question is to put this slurry seal on it to make it last longer. It's not proven that it works. When something has a life expectancy of 10 years, it's usually 10 years. There's no magic tar that's going to make it go 40 years. You know what I mean? So it's still a gamble to do it.
I think, too, you mentioned councils. I think there's a lot of public pressure over the years as well, coming from larger urban centers with asphalt, wanting the same in cottage country. And
yeah.
So this is why councils were pressured, I think, in the past, too, to go to the asphalt, even though many of them knew that, you know, it might be more expensive to do the gravel, et cetera, but you can repair those. But people just didn't accept that anymore.
Yeah.
And so they wanted the asphalt.
Yeah,
and not the potholes, but they wanted the asphalt.
And therein lies the problem.
Right.
Then we've got more expensive roads that are more expensive to maintain.
Yes.
And we need to plan for that going forward.
Yeah, because everything we go with asphalt, if it's going to be replaced, it has to be replaced by asphalt. You can't downgrade anymore and go back to something else. But I think what Councillor Aspin was getting at, then, and you're doing a 10-year study, which is excellent, I think you're back to debentures. And that's got to be factored in because, as you say, the grants aren't there. So somehow, Roshan up here working on that. How much can we debenture? And for the plans, even the 10-year plan, that's another thing. How much can you finance? And how much interest are we willing to pay for these roads and other equipment? You mentioned roads primarily, but then you've got the three trucks to replace too, at least. I think you talked about that coming up. So that's great. You're working on the asset management plan. You mentioned the 10-year plan, so I think that's great to be able to do that. And having it for our budget meeting on April 7th would be excellent.
It won't happen.
You get it done.
I mean, I've got something you can look at today, but it would just get us off track because it's incomplete.
Yeah.
You know, you show Hardy's Road, yeah, we're going to spend $900,000 on it this year, but that's only 2 kilometers of Hardy's Road.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to that road than so. It's really a lot of work, and I think we need to get through this budget time and the projects that we have planned, and we've been planning them for more than a year. That I think we go through with them the best we can, and but we've got by next year, fall, we should be sitting here talking about. Let's see that 10-year plan, Tom, and what are we looking at over the next 10 years? Honestly, I'm not a fan of borrowing, and the only way to plan for this thing is in long-term budget is raising the taxes. If we want paved roads, we've got to pay more. It's as simple as that.
And you mentioned the study for Center Road and Camp Road, and yet you were also talking about, at one point, Bob looking at other roads need study?
We're going to do that, yeah.
Okay, and are there any particular roads? I think you got 15,000 in the budget for it.
We're going to look at as many as we can to support that plan, right? So
yeah.
You know, worst is first, and we got a plan going forward.
Okay.
And with keeping in mind everything that we've been talking about with this pavement preservation, if something is staying in good shape and we know that it's getting old, and maybe some of those we can try. It'd be nice if we could just spray tar on them every 5 years. You know, and they're smooth again.
Well, that's part of the goal of the micro seal as well. What's helping to do is seal the surface, because when you get the cracks, then that speeds up the deterioration.
Water
gets in there, and so either you crack seal, spend money on crack seal, or you use another type of surface treatment, such as micro seal.
That's exactly right. But it's not working in a lot of places. That's all I'm saying. It's not working in a lot of places. I follow the studies.
So these other roads that Bob's looking at, I know we have the roads that need study, and a lot of the worst roads, they said, were the least traveled roads. So this is part of his study, that how many vehicles are actually going on? Because I noticed...
We're not mandated to do a roads need study anymore, so we're going to do a McKellar version of the roads need study. What do our roads actually need? What's realistic?
Okay.
Where do we need to be putting our money? In a low volume road, then if it's low enough, then maybe it needs to be gravel. And if it's tar and chip, then maybe it needs to be pulverized and put back to gravel. Because the people will be a lot happier.
Okay.
And I'm talking like very short,
right. You
know, low volume roads. If there's six houses or less in there, like why does it need to be paved? It's not saving us anything, because when there's a frost heave, you can't fix it.
Then we have to bring in the planning department, and is there going to be future development in some of those roads?
Deal with it at the time, yeah.
Even in the roads need study, though, they acknowledged that the average daily traffic volumes were not current at that time, and I think that was...
And they were only estimated.
Yes. So, I mean, from where? Like, just hear numbers and put them on a page? But
by population.
Okay, but
that's how they did it. I read the study,
yeah.
And I was disappointed to find out that that's how they did it.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, I guess.
It's better than nothing, but it doesn't mean that we can't put a traffic counter out and do them ourselves.
On the middle volume roads, perhaps. Yeah. So.
On all the roads, because it's important for more aspects than just planning. It's our maintenance standards is law that we can maintain them at a certain standard, and it would be shocking to find out in court that our traffic count has gone up on Hurtville Road higher than class 5, and it's a class 4 now, and we're not maintaining it to the proper standard.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to know what it is, and
okay.
I think we should do them.
I agree with that. I mean, it would be good to have some numbers that are up to date and accurate. Yes,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So Center Road, the section from Hurtville Road to Lees Road, I believe that was slurry sealed or micro sealed in 2017, so that's held out pretty good. And that is just a double surface treatment road underneath there. So it's not even pavement, so that's pretty...
It's held up good, yes. And you want me to throw another curve into your sleepless nights?
Oh,
what I've learned is you may not, we should be using slurry seal during engineering studies. And if you get a road that the base is built properly and you've got your double surface treatment on it, if you can slurry seal every 5 years, and it's a crapshoot. How long does it last? Will it last 40? Maybe we'll get lucky. But guess what? You can't slurry seal over a micro seal. They won't bond to each other. So the ones we've micro-sealed, I've got to do a lot more homework and got to talk to those suppliers and see if they can, or if there's another additive they can put in the mix that will give it better adhesion.
Well, look into that.
Yes, I'm definitely looking into it, because it's like we've got Center, and you can see that hey, it's been done once, and it's sealed it. It's holding up better, and let's do it again and see how many years we can get out of it. And the wind was taken out of my sails when they said, oh, you can't do that. And that's coming from our engineer. He says, I'm not going on based on what the suppliers are telling me. I'm reading the engineering studies, and the engineering studies say it has a different coefficient of expansion, and it's not adhering to the... They won't adhere to each other. They will crack up and fall apart. And then you get more potholes.
So it was micro-sealed, not slurried?
Yes. Most of what we've done, micro-seal does a much nicer job. The public is a lot happier, but it's a little more substance to it.
The public actually think it's paved.
They and I think it's paved.
Yeah.
They do.
It has that consistency, like it has a good riding surface,
yeah.
Sort of, you know, compared to slurry seal. And but I think Center Road was, you can look it up, it's probably in your documents there, but I believe that was still slurry seal.
It was slurry, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good if it was.
Yeah, because that was what we were going for when we first started doing the roads, was slurry. That was the one that was popular.
Yeah.
We were doing slurry, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't slurry. We changed to microseal. Because I remember saying, what's the difference? I thought it was slurried. Yeah.
Yep. Well, we'll have to put a line item in the budget for Tom to do experimentation, though. He's working on some of these different chemicals.
I think we let larger municipalities do the experiments, and we'll follow when it works. So that's sort of mine. And Seguin just did a large section of microseal on pavement, which that's what microseal was originally designed for, but everyone is skeptical that it's going to work. They did Osler Park Drive last year, so it's got one winter on it now, and we're going to see what it does.
And that's what Perry Sound did inside the town of Perry Sound?
And it didn't last one year.
Oh, no, it's a mess.
It didn't last one year. They were very disappointed.
Yeah, I think I remember Bob cautioning on that and what they did. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm torn. I go and talk to our contractors, and I go, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this. And then I talk to Bob, and, no, this doesn't work here. Read this engineering study. So.
In our bridges, I know we've got one for Broadbent Bridge, the 100,000, but the other bridges, I know we've broached this subject before, but should be no money set aside for...
No, the most of the upgrades we're going to do this year on those bridges are to knock some stuff off that deficiency list in our bridge study is signage. Signaging things that we can do under our regular maintenance budget. Because that's a lot of the deficiency were noted as signings, guardrails, approach guardrails. And it's something that staff can repair. So we're...
Okay. And the we've talked about it before, and it's probably even part of the discussion, I think, with Herdville Bridge. Now that it's going to be the main bridge, I guess, for McDougal residents as well as McKellar residents, once the other bridge sequence one closes, should we be looking at a load limit?
Okay, I know it's been looked at in the past, and it wasn't recommended, and it's got to do with its structural integrity, and it's structurally very safe. But while Bob's out here, we'll have a quick look at it, because I have discussed that bridge with him again.
Yeah.
Well, I think in one of the conversations with Bob, he had indicated that Herdville Bridge has the same construction components as the bridge that's getting replaced on McDougal Road over the Seguin River.
Right.
So if that one had a load limit on it, then I think we definitely need to consider... We're going to put a load limit on Herdville, just the
I will have them look at it, but I know that, like, the one on the Seguin River, the certain elements were failing. Ours is in pretty good shape.
Yeah, but this is where, again, you sort of project, will it be in as good a shape with all the increased traffic?
Yeah, because we're talking about concrete. The concrete abutments are failing on the Seguin River. Bridge. There's been a load limit on it for as long as I can remember because components are failing. I don't know if it's salt usage or what, but we don't use salt on our in our township other than a little bit in the sand, right?
I just wonder because I know with Broadbent, some of us are around when that was replaced and now we see some structural damage. I don't know if it's the bridge itself or what's underneath the girders, I guess, but my concern is, you know, relatively new bridges, and they still need repairs.
Yes.
On Herdville, it's one of our oldest.
Yeah.
So
and very well built. Yeah. I had this conversation with Bob over something else because there's a faction of our population that thinks it should be replaced and made two lanes, and I disagree, and I got Bob's opinion, and he disagrees for the same reasons I do. It is probably one of our better bridges as far as structural integrity goes. There's other bridges that need to be replaced before it does.
And yet we've had, what, two accidents on it recently?
And that's...
Yeah.
That's drivers, you can't control that, right? That's
gotta well, you can, maybe, it, like, it's the same argument for Middle River, when it was a single lane. You can't control it. Well, you can. You didn't have near as many accidents when it went a two-lane.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm thinking.
Or even in Holmes Ridge, that went to a lane and a half. So, you know, that's an option as well, just that
yeah.
little extra width.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is an advantage to it, but...
Well, it's a question, sir. Historical versus, you know, modern. And maybe the modern, as we find with a lot of appliances, any number of things, they don't last as long as the older ones. So maybe it was well built back then, but there comes a time, I think, when, you know, you don't want a catastrophic experience and the whole thing just collapses. It's been good for so long, but there may be a soft spot somewhere in there that well, we hope it isn't. But anyway, other questions for Tom? Other issues.
Yeah, speaking of additional traffic on that bridge, it's Hurdville. Have you heard the latest on how McDougall's making out for the construction on the...
It's I don't know if it's out to tender now, but it's if it isn't out to tender now, it's very close to being out to tender. So, and they haven't given us a firm date, but it'll be closed in May. Mm-hmm. Maybe even April.
Right, because
they said they're going to let us know directly so we can inform the public as well, because it affects a lot of our residents as well.
Yeah. I heard stories, I don't know if they're true or not, that a newer contractor is willing to do the job and only close it down for a couple of months is kind of what I heard through the ugly grapevine kind of thing. So
that's hard to believe because it's a full reconstruction. They're doing abutments, everything,
right.
Wing walls, everything.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody was panicking, taxpayers, and here, you know, it's going to be closed from March till, I think the original date was around till September, like all summer.
Yeah,
it
very well will be. There's no magic fix for that. They're tearing the whole thing out and putting in a new bridge, realigned so it's straighter with
mm-hmm.
the road.
Yeah. So, okay. You don't know.
But I don't know. The start
sure.
is it's coming soon. I think
yeah.
it's out to tender.
The day you can drive out there, that will be when they're closed. Yeah.
Signs are just going up.
Yeah, well, the phone will be ringing off the hook here, eh? I went to go to work that way, and nobody warned me. Too bad, it's in McDougal, it's not our problem.
Except what it is, yeah.
Anything else for Tom? As far as the transfers, that page, I don't know whether Roshan wants to... get into that one or not. Just to explain, maybe we could focus on roads, I guess, the transfer page, which are going, coming from transfer, which what it's actually going back into. Is there anything for roads there that I noticed public works is a section, and I guess it was a little confusing there on, you've got 80,000 on the transfer sheet. 80,000 for the pickup truck, and then underneath it there's 130,000. I know that's two prices, but does that go with? Because right now it's still across from the backhoe. It's page one on
the reserves.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I guess we're using transfer correctly. You actually transfer to and from reserves.
Yeah, 80,000 for the pickup truck and. Transfer from the reserve for the pickup truck and 130,000 for the Tom's truck.
So it's not for the backhoe that it's across from. It's just sort of
lines
up that way. So
yeah, no.
And I knew the columns weren't wide enough to put.
Yeah, I've tried to put it, but then sometimes it's having too much information. It's hard to put on.
And speaking of transfers to reserves, it looks like we're really cheating it on the amount we're putting in for vehicle and equipment in the future, eh?
Yeah.
Or that's not near enough going forward?
No.
Yeah, what was the amount that we had normally set?
100,000 goes in the transfer, in the reserve for the vehicle.
But what would we normally...
I thought we were at around 130 there for a few years that we were putting into vehicle reserve.
know, last four or five years we've been transferring 100,000.
100?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why we, last budget meeting, we decided to put 150,000.
I noticed the playground equipment. I know what Tom's talking about, but that's directly, although the last public works where they actually installed them. So this would be a company coming in to do it. But I see it's in there. Is that all predicated, though, on getting the actual grant? We wouldn't be doing anything with the playground equipment if the grant doesn't come through, would we?
It's $350,000.
Playground equipment. We applied for a grant. I think we got 50,000 in this budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we get the grant, I guess.
Right.
If we don't get the grant, I guess we can shove it into a reserve for maybe the year after we get the grant.
Yeah.
So is it a 90-10 split between the province or NOHSC and the municipality?
So maximum we will get 300,000.
And so that's why we need the 50,000.
Yeah.
I guess the other question too is really not on here, but Councillor Haskin, you referred to it before, the parking lot at Broadbent Ballpark. Is anything being done at all in investigating that or enlarging it?
No.
Tom's here.
It would all be news to Tom probably, because I did mention it at a meeting or two, brought it up. It's one of those little side projects and whether you guys would have time to fit it in, but the parking lot in Broadbent Ball Diamond. At one time it was bigger, but everything's just creeping in on it, eh? So it's all good land in there. It's just a case of knocking the old tag alders down and throwing some fill in just to expand it. Whether that could be on your list as, you know, if you're looking for something to do for the guys for a day or two or something, if that ever happens.
Okay. We'll put it on the list.
Okay. Yeah, it's not an extreme priority, but I just see it as one of those things that, you know,
I'm glad you brought it up, because we're wondering where we're going to put the excavated material from the construction projects, because there's new rules in the province that it is contaminated material and you're not allowed to just dump it anywhere anymore.
All right.
It's just like garbage. It's treated by the same people, the same as garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you are allowed to dump it on your own land. So if it's clean fill, we could put a few loads in there and
mm-hmm.
get rid of the tag alders and then top it with gravel. So
yeah, and if you have
that's a good.
Yeah, and even more space. Not only expanding the ball diamond section a little bit. If you kind of when you pull in the parking lot over back into the left, there's kind of a low lying.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like marsh kind of area a little bit. You could all put a bit in there just to build it up and make it usable.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So yeah, that would be
that would
work.
Now the other project we actually started council with, it's sort of gone by the wayside a little bit, is the Lakeshore Boat Ramp. Whether anything is going to be done with that, I think Bob had suggested extending the concrete out further rather than actually changing the whole configuration of the site. But again, is that something that we should put back on the radar, or have we had any complaints? Has it been functioning all right? People talk about the steepness. Is that another project that should be built in? I know that's what they sort of did at the McKellar Lake one, if I remember. They were big slabs that they brought in. They actually, I don't think they poured them on site. They might have originally, and then I think brought in slabs and installed them. And Bob was to investigate that. I think he did a preliminary look at it. But I'm just wondering if that's a project that we shouldn't take off the list. It doesn't seem to be showing up anywhere. And yet we started the term with that project in mind, so.
Well, it was kind of hot off the press.
Oh, yes.
Term started. Because, I mean, it's kind of funny. I was actually sitting down at lunch from a couple of people who live right there, and then the boat ramp came up, and I kind of hid under the table a little bit, because the first thing that came up was, can you believe council going to close that boat ramp, or they did close the boat ramp, and that got everybody all up in arms and the whole bit. But after all the conversation was finished and everything, they never seemed to complain about the existing boat ramp open the way it is right now. It never came up that, and they should improve it. It was just leave it open, and it's fine. So I think it's something that would be nice to get it done. I see just a shift in the road inland, the width of a road again, allowing a little bit of maneuvering area there kind of thing, but even something like that's going to cost $150,000 probably. we don't have.
No, but the reason I was questioning if we are going to do anything there as far as extending the slabs out, and we need the permission from MNR probably, and Fisheries and Oceans, any number of things that should be investigated before you put it on the list. But I'm thinking it's something that probably should be looked at. We haven't heard anything more about the one in on, of course, its previous council had dealt with this too, with the lakeside. I guess everything's working in there.
Seems to be.
And they were concerned about the increased flow of traffic because Lakeshore was closed, but now that I haven't heard too much from in there.
So. No, I think I haven't heard complaints at all. But they seem to be happy with what's happening there.
Anything else for Tom? Councilor Pecker.
I know this is sort of in conjunction with the fire department, but the backup power of the two fire halls and the public works garage, is that a grant or some funding that we received for that?
And we got word that they were approved.
Okay.
Just this week.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to go ahead.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what kind of catastrophe we have, then the power's out, then we can still fuel our trucks and operate out of our works garage. And same with the fire department.
That's good. Thank you.
You'd also mentioned that your architect hat on, I guess, that you were going to draw up some design for the public works yard.
I'm going to do some work on that over the summer so that we can continue to plan for that. I mean, it's not something that's going to happen soon because it's an expensive project. But yeah, and I hope to see some of those people that next week at Good Roads. I go to Good Roads Sunday morning, so and they'll be there. Because part of our problem is we need to make best use of the space on that lot.
Yeah. But if it's, go ahead,
I was just thinking when he mentioned the Good Roads. Remember, you were wanting to go specifically for a certain thing, and
it's tentative decided, but I don't know whether they're still talking about that.
Tentative
construction guidelines. The one that province are coming down for roads.
I'm sure they'll be talking about it because that's big news for everybody. They're standardized. They're going to standardize. You know, we've done the right thing and created our own standard for our.
Yeah, but it's a tentative.
It's tentative because it hasn't made it through Parliament yet. But they're pushing
it
through.
But they're going to be doing that.
They're pushing it through.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll affect us going forward.
Yeah, because I know that's why you wanted. You were really interested in that.
Well, I want to see how it affects us, because usually the province then makes that a condition of, you want a grant for that road, you got to build it this way.
Yeah.
And it's almost back to the old MTO way.
Yeah.
You don't assume that road unless it's built like that.
That's what I wondered, and I thought it would be really important, too, for those on the unassumed roads. They seem to, I don't know, disappeared at this point, but what Bob had come up with, the different plans, are probably pretty close to what the province is going to be suggesting now. And they said no. I mean, I would almost think, I don't know what how rigid they're going to be from the province, but they've left it on the back burner, the people in these subdivisions, and I'm wondering if they should have jumped on it and gone ahead. But
they may regret not jumping on it and going ahead if this goes through the legislature. I don't know how they're going to enforce it to make sure that we follow that.
Right.
Probably through funding.
Yeah, that's what they did before.
That's what they've always done before. It's like, that's how they make us do our job. Because Bob's version, I've said it many times, it gives us a good standard, a good road, but it's also achievable by the people that have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you switch to only looking at the Ontario provincial standards, then it's quite expensive.
Well, I know one of the areas they focus on is drainage, and I don't think that was done with previous assumption of roads. Sort of an area that wasn't investigated, and Bob's put it on his design, certainly. The drainage is so important. And it's maybe slow down the process because it's going through somebody's property, obviously, when you get the easement.
But, yeah.
Well, hopefully that'll be a good experience, and you get some information from
Yes. Looking forward to it. There's lots going on. Changes to the municipal the maintenance standards. So I'll learn about that.
Councilor Kay.
I'm seeing that some of the neighboring municipalities have received close to $2 million each. What was it that McNamara got for their fire hall?
Yeah, it was over $1 million anyway.
Right. So seeing that the NOHFC has, you know, funding available for projects like that, and our taxpayers paid the full amount, $1 million approximately, for fire hall number one, I wonder if Public Works yards, buildings, extensions qualify for some of that funding.
It's worth looking into. I know Roshan pays close attention to anything that's coming out.
So. I think the last year when Dustin was here, you know, when he was here to open the baseball field, I remember, I think mm-hmm. you asked him same question about the fire hall grant, and he said, you know, that's one off, you know, maybe you won't get it anymore. So I don't know how they got it, but I doubt it that we will get any.
Well, you know, he said that after the Carling
yeah.
received the 1.8 yeah. million. Well, now McNamara got one, so maybe we're one off with our public works yard, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Well, and it, in my opinion, when it comes to grants, it's what twist you put on it. Because our Hurtville Road is getting so busy, I recognize this year. I'm not a big fan of using salt around our lakes, like, you know, we've got to protect our lakes. But the snowpack got so bad with this severe winter we had that come spring, and you guys all experienced it, and then it's everybody drives in the same wheel ruts, and it makes this wheel rut and creates a dangerous situation. We get to the point where we're going to have to use salt at some point. And we don't have anywhere to keep salt. We can't. You can't keep it outside. It's against the law. So we need a bigger dome. So maybe that's an angle to approach it, because it's an environmental twist. Right?
Yeah.
We have to. We're forced to use salt. We're busier now. We're bigger now. We should be watching for those grants, because your salted sand and your salt needs to be kept inside.
Councilor Zulak.
So doesn't Fowler have their salt down in Perry Sound still?
Yeah, and it took me.
And it goes into
it
the.
It took
bay.
Me a month. Yes, it does. I
and
know.
Doesn't Toronto have their salt? I have a picture of it
yeah.
sitting there, right there by Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
And yet, when we built our domes, we had to build our domes.
Exactly.
So, like, I don't get it. How some can do it and some can't.
Well, yeah, rules never make sense. But I've been in trouble when I worked at Whitestone, just because they spilt a little bit of sand outside the dome when they loaded the truck. And it's got salt in it, only 2%, and they didn't push it back in the dome. And a taxpayer drove by and looked at that and called the Ministry of Environment right away and said,
well,
there's a spill.
We've been there.
Well, yeah, so we're threatened with jail.
Yes.
Councilor Greg.
So, yeah, it does seem silly that it's mined out of the bottom of the lake.
I know.
Stored beside the lake, uncovered.
Yeah.
And then
like
we've got to put up a
$2
million building because we've got to keep it dry.
And they put straight salt on the roads in certain circumstances, like if it's freezing rain. And so that's another option, is that I know this year there was a bit of a salt shortage, so you want to sort of make sure you do have your salt supply on hand.
Yeah, it took us a month. We ran out, and we needed to mix more sand because our sand dome is too small, right? So we get about halfway through the winter, and we've got to mix more. So we buy another load of salt and then mix it, and it took me a month to get salt this year.
Mm-hmm. But so that's an option, is you look at the expense of building a salt dome, or you just buy it as needed during the course of the winter, which isn't all the time. It might be just a few different winter events.
And it's not reliable. So if it's freezing rain and you need salt, and I put in an order, and I can only do it on their website, and I get a response that says unavailable. For 3 weeks I did that, every day.
Yeah.
In the past, salt order, unavailable, try again later.
Yeah, this was a tough year for salt, for sure.
So, if we've got a slippery condition or a dangerous condition we've got to rectify and we don't have salt in stock, then we're liable.
Councilor Haskell?
Yeah, so when you're laying out with your plan of the additional bays and then where you're going to put, where we should put sand piles on, are you going to be allowing room for, like, separate salt building then too?
No, I'm thinking I'll bring back examples. They're designing salt storage buildings with bays on the side of them for the equipment. Better use of space. So if the salt dome is big enough, one of these big long buildings, that you've got all your sand in there, but we don't use a lot of salt, but you could have salt in one corner.
Right.
Okay. A couple of hundred salt, tons of salt goes a long way for a small municipality.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think like last year it was really terrible, Herdville Road. Then
yeah.
I think maybe the grader went down for a week or something by the time.
Yeah, roll rate right when it was time to.
Yeah, it was real bad. And I know somebody who actually did a donut.
Yeah.
Because it happened to me a couple times. There was a bad one as you approached the dump, eh? Just starting to hit it.
Yeah.
There was one there that would just
pull you in.
Yeah, so it was kind of. I see any asphalt roads in the future, which will all probably only be in our time, probably just Center and Herdville Road. Yeah, I think once in a while them getting doused with the salt.
Well, at least to have that ability. You know,
have
I mean, I prefer
ability.
To have them snowpacked and you can ice blade them and it's a good ride and it's a safe road.
Yeah.
But when you've got to get it off,
mm-hmm.
you want to be able to put salt on it and peel it off.
Yeah. And then as far as what you're going to plan for the yard over here, I think it's just like how we talked with Center Road, get all your ducks in order and be ready for if a grant comes along. I think the same thing like Mike is kind of touching on is, let's get a plan in place. And if it means getting something drawn up with it looking really nice on paper and everything, something that we could go to a minister with and say, we have this beautiful plan, it's needed, but we haven't got the money for it. So I just think it's important to have it ready so not only the Center Road portion but the yards over here, because it's going to be so costly. We got it
this summer, he's promised, he said.
Yeah, it's say as a goal going forward. Yeah, if you could come up with a great plan for that property. I know we were hoping to expand the property. That's probably not going to happen, so yeah, you just kind of got to work with the envelope you're in, I guess. And
else for Tom? I did promise it opened up to the public as well. If you have any particular questions for Tom, Public Works Superintendent. Okay. Well,
thank you.
I know it's a Friday, but you'll probably be leaving here and working on the plans then.
Yeah, I'll work all week.
That's right, you're heading to the good roads.
I'm cheap, though. I hitched a ride.
Oh. That's your only way home, though. Keep that in mind.
Well, I got to be nice to Perry Sound, because I'm riding with those guys, because if they think I better be nice to them when I'm down there, they won't bring me back. All right.
Thank you. Okay, other areas. So, what do you want to go through? The actual detailed document or questions for Roshan?
So, okay. So administration, there is a line item here for NOHSC insurance salary and payroll overhead.
Go to page, sorry.
This is on page 2,
okay.
Administration, and there is a line item NOHSC insurance salary and payroll overhead. So the maximum amount that NOHSC, if we're a successful applicant, I believe is $35,000.
If you're talking about the intern or something,
intern.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't have exact number right now, but something around between 30 to 35. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if a number should be put in there. So I looked at previous versions, so 2020. So the NOHSC portion was $31,500, and then the township's portion with payroll and overhead was $47,265. So that would be a difference of approximately $16,000. So since the historical committee are the ones that have sort of put this forward, and looking at the historical committee reserves, we have $26,400 in reserves. Just that certain times in life, there's only short windows of opportunity, and for the historical committee, because the majority of the members are getting older and the amount of energy and resources they have to be able to commit to any updating of or even catching up with existing documentation, etc., that are required, you know, for the historical committee. I think this is a time where an intern would be beneficial to the historical committee to get some of the things in order that have sort of fallen to the side over the last few years. So, so if you're wondering where the money is coming from, then that's what the historical committee has looked at and would be able to put up for an intern.
So you're suggesting at this point put a figure in there and then change the reserves?
Is that
his direction to Roshan?
Yes, that would be the case.
I would appreciate if I get the direction from historical committee or council that's how I would like to change the budget and reserves. So, you know, and again, I didn't submit any application yet for the the interim. So I'm not sure what will be the outcome. So, you know, I can only put whatever the reserve amount as of now, and then if we get the grant for the internship, then I will revise it.
Yeah, I just we have to have some number regarding something that is a possibility.
Okay.
If we don't have any number in there, then it's not even a consideration for this budget year. So
okay.
We do have a historical committee meeting coming up in April the I think it's April the 4th. I believe it's April 4th. So the next reading of the budget meeting is April 7th, I believe. So that if you get the resolution from the historical committee prior to that, then you can incorporate that number.
And other thing I was going to ask you, there's some condition with that application that, you know, whoever we hired has to have at least 30 to 35 hours, I think. So is historical committee thinking that, you know, the person will have enough hours for that, just for the that work?
So
partnering. You're partnering, right?
Yes,
yeah.
That was the goal, was to get a schedule set up with the library, seemed the CEO of the library. I don't know if any motion has been brought to the table at the
No, but they're going to put together a list of, you know,
okay,
things that could be done, because
okay,
we just had a meeting on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know that they are all in it, like
okay,
all very enthused about it, and I thought maybe wasn't it also recreation morning?
Yes, I'm sure they could. We didn't discuss it yet, but yeah, could definitely again come up with a work plan from each committee and say this is how we can. So one way or the other, I think the committees will ensure that person has work for that.
35.
Okay.
Now, in the past, I believe the office has actually has utilized this person also. Whether that's a possibility.
And again, normally that's my general concept that, you know, when you hire the internship, you have someone in supervisory role to direct that person and teach that person, because he or she will be as an internee and he or she would like to learn. We don't, in this case, I don't see any, oh.
No.
You know, I don't see anybody in the sense supervisory role who will do everything. So he guide that person in that internship role.
We briefly discussed it at the last council meeting, and seemed that that was something that office staff would be able to coordinate.
Yeah, I think the idea behind it too is, as you say, filling out the actual application form and making sure that they don't want to be very specific. You're going to do different committees, and somebody in charge, right? And usually the intern wants to lead with some. not just doing paperwork and different things to keep them busy. They want to actually learn something. So that's important, as you say, somebody in charge of that and keeping a record.
Yeah.
What has this person accomplished and what are their goals and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's extra work for staff if they're going to take that on.
Yes, I believe last time it was the treasurer took care of.
Oh, okay.
Willingly.
Who was pointing the finger at Mary there? Well, yeah, we better find out from staff for sure whether they can do this, because it will be work from the staff end. So whether you want to bring a report forward.
I think that's important because they're sitting here, you know, wondering too, if the committees don't get together in a certain time, then they won't know what the committees want, and just coordinating it all.
Yeah. And where we're going to put this person to kind of need a place to set up.
I was thinking about that, like, you know, what is the office space or work area? And it's probably a little bit tight in the office, so I think the council chambers aren't used, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this is close to where the
historical room. I think you talked about that too, keeping it open some of
the
time.
Yeah, so that, but the home base for doing, like, you know, the any type of administrative work, paperwork, phone calls, etc., that they might have to do. That this might be an ideal workstation.
Yeah, I wouldn't see any harm in setting up, a desk in the corner over there instead of a stack of chairs, you know, if that's what would work. So the person has a, you know, a station, you know, basically a desk to sit at and say, okay, well, this is where, what I got to do today kind of thing. So I'm sure it's workable somehow, a location.
Yeah, but the museum is Edward Watkins room, and it's not open most of the time, so that would be an ideal location.
Yeah,
although it's not hooked up necessarily to internet and that, is it? Or no, that would be a drawback.
So, Mary, is that one desk there available?
Tom.
Oh, that Tom uses that? Oh, I thought he worked upstairs about.
Well, he does, but when he comes
here, he's using
he uses that. But I mean.
Didn't we have the Les Nessman WKRP tape around that at one point?
Yeah.
His office, yeah.
Okay. No, I was just thinking that way the person would be in with everybody else, could answer phones or anything if needed.
That could probably sound work.
But I guess the question is, you started with it, do we put a figure in here? Have we done that with the playground equipment? Do we have a figure in on what we're expecting to get with the grant?
Yeah, and with the playground equipment, they already accepted our application.
Right.
It's somehow they delayed it, but then I'm hoping to receive an outcome in April. So it seems like guarantee kind, because they Dustin sent me a letter that the application is okay, everything looks okay, you know.
Yeah.
That tells you that, you know, we should be getting the funds.
Sounds good.
So that's why I put the figure here, but
right.
In this case I haven't even submitted the application, right?
I can see where Councilor Keckin is coming from, though. It's not in there sort of thing, and it sort of gets lost in the shuffle, and there really is no application. And I know that, like you say, that all the logistics have to be figured out, but I'm just wondering if the figure should go in. And if the money is coming from the reserve, I guess St. Stephen's is, it's not, you didn't include that in your reserve, or did you? It's your total reserve?
So one portion, I think, was 18,000, and the other reserve portion was 8,000. So, and when you look at it, it'll be prorated, because by the time the application is approved, by the time we approve the budget, will be, say, May 1st.
Yeah.
You know,
April 21st.
Yeah. So anyways, then by the time the application gets submitted and approved, it may be June.
Yeah.
So this is 6 months of, we're putting in a number for the full year, but we could put in a number for 6 months.
Yeah.
Just so that there is a number to show that this is something that, you know, council is considering, and that the cost of it is well is being considered, and that money is available. So.
Yeah, so basically pull from the historical reserve you know, that amount to offset the cost of the.
Yeah, as Roshan said, there'll be extra costs, but I guess that gets it started anyway. But like somebody will have to use part of their.